This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. The Indianapolis 500 is one of the traditions of Memorial Day weekend, but 20 years ago, that race was run amid tragedy. Scott Brayton of Coldwater was killed in a practice days before the race was run. He had won the pole position at the Indy 500 for the second year in a row. Battle Creek Enquirer sports columnist Bill Broderick recently wrote about Scott Brayton, his legacy, and his family. Bill Broderick, thank you very much for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
How big a star was Scott Brayton in racing circles at the time of his death?
Well, he was a huge star. It had a lot to do with his sparkling personality and that smile, as his family talks about a little bit. He was magnetic and really a big crowd pleaser. But on the track alone, he was a big star himself. The back-to-back pole positions that you mentioned at the biggest race of the year, the Indy 500. He had been in 14 Indy 500s over his career. He had several top 10 finishes there. And just the Brayton family was big in those racing circles, because they were the main motors for different cars, and that's how they kind of got into the Indy 500 originally. And Lee Brayton, the father of Scott, created those motors in Coldwater, and a lot of the drivers would use their engines to get an edge. And the main motor that Scott Brayton used was kind of the original, the V6 engine at the time, and kind of gave him an edge. And then that's kind of what made him a star in the sport at that time.
So what happened in this practice that led to his death?
Well, according to reports, and according to his dad, when I talked to him last week, it was just kind of a fluke thing. He blew out a tire, and it went sideways into the wall. And a lot of times you'll hit the wall nose first, or you'll hit the wall in a different style. But because he went sideways into the wall, there wasn't any way to cushion it a little bit. And then when he went sideways, his head slammed against the side of the wall at the very same time. So it wasn't like going forward, and so he didn't have any safety that way. So his head slammed sideways, and he was dead on impact there because of brain damage. His dad talked about how it didn't seem like that big of a crash at the time, because he'd been in some crashes himself, and he's got some worse crashes because of the way he hit the wall, and didn't rotate or didn't fly up in the air. But the fact that the way it hit it and at the angle that it hit it, that was really a fluke thing, and that's what caused his death.
And that seems to be something that sort of happens in auto racing, that sometimes the crashes that look the worst, drivers are able to walk away from, and sometimes a crash that doesn't seem to look quite as bad, at least from the vantage point of the television lens or from a long way away, are the ones that lead to serious injuries and sometimes death.
Exactly. And that was one of the interesting stories that Dad was telling me when he was recalling Scott. He was watching it, and he was there for the practice and for the warm-ups ahead of time, because he'd already won the pole position. And Scott was in his backup car, and his tire blew out, and he hit the wall. And then, people, of course, went over to see how he was. And when they put him in the ambulance kind of drove away, but it wasn't going all bells and whistles screaming down the racetrack. It was kind of going slow. So Dad at the time commented, well, he must have thought that he wasn't that bad because they weren't in any hurry. What he found out later was that he was already dead, and they weren't going to be able to do anything for him. So but at the time, his dad mentioned that he had seen worse crashes, and he had been in worse crashes himself, and really didn't think that what happened to Scott had happened, but it did, and it was such a tragedy for family and for the racing community and for Coldwater.
Do his parents still live in Coldwater?
Yeah, they still own the engineering company, Brayton Engineering in Coldwater still. They have offices down there, and when I visited them a couple weeks ago, they have pictures of Scott all around there, and they still make engines for some drivers off and on at different levels of the IndyCar racing. They are still involved in it. They go to Indy 500 most every year. They didn't go last year because of health, but they said they were coming this year. And they still enjoy the sport, and they watch it every year. And, when you start talking to them about what happened 20 years ago, of course they get emotional, and that hits them pretty hard. But they still love the sport of Indy car racing and auto racing in general.
And you also caught up with the wife that Scott Braden left behind. What is happening? And he also had a young daughter. So what can you tell us about them 20 years later?
Yeah, Becky Braden was his longtime sweetheart from the area, and she came and worked with the Bradens for a long time and was involved with them for a long time here in Coldwater. And a couple of years after he died, she stayed in the Indy 500 racing community. She married another driver, Robbie Buell, and she kept her last name, Becky Braden. She still, brightens up when you talk to her about Scott. She doesn't like to talk too much about the accident, and really didn't with me at all. But she talks about Scott in general in glowing terms and what kind of a person he was and what kind of driver he was and his magnetic personality. And then when you bring up their daughter, she really, glows about that. Carly at the time was only 2 years old, and there's some pictures of her at the funeral, a little girl running up, just seeing a picture of her dad there, and that kind of breaks your heart when you kind of think about that. And for a long time, she didn't really understand what was going on and really didn't want to talk about it. But from Becky, they say that she's 22 now, and she wants to know more about the person her dad was and his career, and she's involved in that. But they both live in Cleveland now, and they're still involved in racing.
And I found that interesting that all of these family members who lost someone so dear to them are still very tied into racing 20 years later. I guess I'm wondering, do people who are part of the racing community accept that there is just a certain level of risk that comes with the sport?
That's the impression I have. I asked them about that a couple times, and I guess that is, it'd be hard. It's hard for me to understand. Maybe it's hard for you or I to understand that you could still be around the track after something like that happened. But I think those people who are entrenched in auto racing realize there can be tragedy attached to it. And there are several deaths around Indy 500. I think I read a story just the other day. There's been 40 over the years, and it's just part of what happens in that sport. And I think people that are involved in it, and especially drivers and car owners and the people involved in the cars, really understand that more than anybody. And it's hard for me to relate to, but I think they kind of understand what's going on, and they take what it is and still love the sport, and of course they still have memories of their loved ones.
Was it at all tough getting his parents or the woman he was married to at the time to talk about this? Were they at all reluctant to maybe go back over what have to be some very difficult memories from 20 years ago?
Yeah, it was. It wasn't hard at the time. I was a little surprised that that Lee Braden especially was open to chat. I asked him, I caught up with him and said, can I come down and chat? And he said, fine. And at the time I thought maybe it wasn't going to affect him as much because he was open to talking about it that quickly. I didn't have to do too much work. But once you start talking to them, you realize that they still are attached to that situation and they are emotional about that. So that's understandable. And I got that from him a little bit. I think a little bit of the background helped out a little bit. The reason why this story kind of came up for me was that, I knew about it maybe ahead of the Indy 500 before some news was coming around and some of this historical data was coming around, was because that was the first story I worked on here at the Bella Creek Inquirer back on the very first day that I arrived in the office was the day of that crash. So I was thrown onto that story and talked to some people in Coldwater about that. And ever since then, I've been kind of connected to that day in my career, and it's been top of mind in terms of when that has happened and when the Indy 500 kind of comes around every year. I think about Scott Braden and what he meant to the community of racing and what he meant to the community of Coldwater.
So if you could maybe sort of take those different interviews that you did and maybe synthesize them, what are maybe a couple things that you think his parents and Becky Braden would want people to know about Scott Braden, how they would like him to be remembered?
What kept coming back to me every time we're talking about him and every little story was his, and I think I mentioned this before, his magnetic personality, his smile. He really drew people in that way, and you can see that in a lot of the pictures from those days. But then Becky also commented about his determination on the track and then not wanting to lose. And his mom said that more than a couple of times also about how he was just a determined individual to succeed no matter what they were doing, and it was just that aspect of him probably what led him to be such a great driver.
Bill Broderick, thank you very much for your time.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate it.
Battle Creek Inquirer sports columnist Bill Broderick wrote about how Coldwater native Scott Brayton is remembered 20 years after the crash at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway that took the auto racer's life. You can find his column at battlecreekinquirer.com. There's also a link at wmuk.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.